May the Lord help us to commence our service this morning with hymn 388. 388. Approach my soul the mercy seat, where Jesus answers prayer. There humbly fall before his feet, for none can perish there. Hymn 388.
Each as we read from his word this morning from the Gospel according to John in chapter 19. The Gospel according to John and chapter 19. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, "Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him." Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, "Behold the man." When the chief priests therefore and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." Pilate saith unto them, "Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, "Whence art thou?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, "Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest not thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and have power to release thee?" Jesus answered, "Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin." And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, "If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat, in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour. And he saith unto the Jews, "Behold your king." But they cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate saith unto them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him, and two other with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, "Write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, 'I am King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, "Let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, 'They parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots.' These things, therefore, the soldiers did." Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the bodies should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. And again another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus, and wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now, in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre, wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. May the Lord bless the reading of that solemn portion unto us, and help each one of us now in prayer. O most holy, almighty, ever gracious Lord God, it is in thy mercy that once more we can assemble together for worship. We can gather together. We can read thy holy word. We can pour out our needs unto thee in prayer. We can hear the preached word. We can sing thy praises from our hearts. Oh, but Lord, what is the house to me, unless the master I shall see? So as we gather this day to worship, may we be filled with a heart full of thankfulness for thy finished work. As we come, Lord, thou knowest how we come. Thou knowest how we have journeyed here this morning, each and every one of us. For it is a solemn thought. That man looketh on the outward appearance, but thou lookest upon the heart. Nothing is hid from thee, Lord. No small action. No thought within. And as we gather this morning, has there been prayer in our hearts that thou wilt send thy Spirit down into our midst today, that we may have that which is needful for our never dying souls? Is there one or another that have come hungering and thirsting, Lord, for a word from thee today, whatever it is that is needed? O Lord, give us each a realization of what we are. Poor, vile, unworthy sinners. Give us a realization of who thou art. Holy, just, and righteous. Give us, Lord, a deep understanding of the work of thy dear Son, that we can approach unto thee boldly to the throne of grace, that we can find mercy, that we can find help in time of need. And that, Lord, thou lookest down upon each of us now, and in thy mercy, we are not consumed. In thy mercy, we can gather again. But Lord, we truly desire that the power of thy Spirit may be poured out upon us here, that souls may be stirred up which have never been stirred up yet, that souls which have been stirred up and yet who they may feel to be in a stagnant, dead state, may be given that newness of life, may feel once again that love unto thee, may feel once again that underneath are the everlasting arms, and may truly know that however they feel, however they come, whatever their need, thou changest not. And that, Lord, is the sinner's hope, the sinner's consolation. And as we travel this morning through much heavy rain, we remember thy promise that thou wilt never flood this earth again. But Lord, may we remember all thy covenant promises. Lord, that thou wilt not forsake thy people, that thou wilt work where thou seest fit, that none can escape the touch of thy hand, that our life's minutest circumstance is subject to thine eye. O Lord, as we look to thy word, Lord, open our eyes. Lord, as they have gathered the friends here today, bless each one, from the youngest unto the oldest. Those who are unable to gather with us this morning for one reason and another, who may be listening in today, and whoever else may be listening, Lord, may they hear thy voice also. And Lord, what a comfort that all we can do is preach thy word, and it is thy work to apply it. Oh, may it be so, even today, that through thy word, souls may be fed. We pray for those in affliction. We pray for those that are unwell at this time.
Thou knowest the needs of everyone. We pray for our dear deacon here at the desk this morning, and his loved one, the children, the grandchildren, and the church. For Lord, thou knowest, in thy wisdom, thou hast laid one very low. Lord, we pray that even in these things, each one here may be given that strength to endure that which thou hast seen fit and wise to put in their pathway. And Lord, may they be given that grace to continue to walk in that pathway, that submission to thy will. And Lord, we truly pray that thou wilt graciously draw near to our dear friend as she draws near her end. Lord, thou canst cut through all things. Thou canst visit her, Lord, at any time, and we may not know. But Lord, we humbly leave these things with thee, for we have that good hope that it is well with her and will be well when called to die. But as we see one and another laid low, one and another in deep waters, while we have our strength, Lord, in body or in mind, may we use it wisely, ever remembering that we know not what a day nor an hour may bring forth. May we be given that grace to live each day as our last. For Lord, we need to know that our sins are forgiven. We need to know that we have that interest in thy finished work. O Lord, solemnize our minds to realize that thou art just and holy and righteous, and we need to be clothed in thy righteousness and our sins to be washed away. Lord, is that the desire of everyone here today, to know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent? O Lord, this is life eternal. Lord, may we be looking to that eternity spent in heaven, and may we tremble at the thought of an eternity spent in hell. Lord, apply these thoughts to each and every one, from the youngest to the oldest. Lord, for none of us know. None of us know. We pray for those in the midst of life at this time. We pray for those in business, those in employment, those who at these difficult times we are in may have much to cast them down. Pray for those parents here today also, and we thank thee for the families that are here. Lord, do give much wisdom as we seek to bring up our children in these times. Help us to teach them that which is right, as we are surrounded by so much evil, by so many distractions, by so much which is wrong in thy sight. O Lord, help us in a solemn responsibility as churches and as parents to teach and to bring up our children. And we pray for the children and the young people here this day. Those who may have had exams, those who may or should have had exams but have not been able to take them as they would, those who have other concerns, those who know not which pathway to take, help them to lay their needs before thee, and may they see thy good hand going before them. O Lord, we pray for this church and this congregation, each and every one. We pray for the deacons here. Hold them up, Lord. Give them that strength. Give them that wisdom in all that they have to do. and any that seeks to serve thee and does that, Lord, for thy good, for thy house, be with them each. The church here, do bless them. Knit them together, Lord, with thy love. Lord, may there be more love in our hearts one to another, Lord. May we be able to truly bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. We pray for the congregation, Lord. May thy work continue in this place. May there be many wrought upon to put on that open profession of faith, Lord, and to be those pillars in thy house. We pray for this village. We pray for all those that are in this village, all those in the streets and roads surrounding this place. Lord, work mightily, we pray, and draw, Lord, by thy love, many in this village to come into thy house. However they are, Lord, may they come as poor sinners in need of a precious Saviour. For, Lord, we need a true building up. Lord, may we yet see it in this dark and solemn day in which we live. Many brought in, Lord, thy work throughout this land. Lord, wherever thy word is faithfully preached up and down this land and thy people reverently gather for worship, do bless it, we pray. Lord, come indeed. Stir up again this land to look to thy word as the rule book for our nation, that the laws of this land may once again be compatible with thy word. But Lord, what a year we have been brought through since the last time, or that a year ago we gathered here. Thou knowest all that has taken place. We thought maybe then that these restrictions would be long gone, that we would be back to normal. Thy judgments are still upon us. Lord, may we fall under them. May we search our hearts as individuals, search our hearts as churches, search our hearts as a nation, Lord. How have we offended thee? Oh, may we not look at one and another, but may we look within, Lord, to see those idols that are there. Lord, to see what is offensive in thy sight. Oh, Lord, draw us, we pray. Open our eyes, Lord. May we not stick to vain traditions, Lord, but be ever seeking, Lord, to truly worship thee. Lord, help us in these things. Pray for those of thy servants laid aside at this time. Lord, do be with them. Thou knowest the needs. And many, Lord, there are so many at this time who are greatly afflicted in one way and another. Lord, may our prayers encapsulate all of them. Those that are near and dear to many here, Lord, do strengthen if it be thy will. But Lord, if it is not thy will, grant submission, Lord, that we may be able to say, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to thy purpose. But Lord, we have to pray, increase our faith. Increase our faith so that we can say that, so that we can look to that, so that we can look the pathway with that fixed look, knowing that thou art in control. But Lord, we come now to worship thee. We come at the end of this morning's service to gather round thy table. Lord, help us to reverently gather. Lord, remembering the solemnity of that which we are attending to, may those who look on be given that true longing and that desire to gather with us. Lord, we pray, help us in our worship. Lord, empty this poor man of all that is of self, all that will mar thy precious word. Pour in that we may be able to pour out unto the people. Open the blind eyes this day. Soften the hard hearts, Lord. Prepare the heart, that the word spoken, the seed sown, may fall on good ground. Come, Lord, indeed into our midst. Truly help us. Fill us each with thy Spirit, Lord. O Lord, may it be so that we gather not in vain today, but this may be a true Sabbath day, a true day of rest, where our souls rest in thee. Forgive all that we have asked amiss now, that which we have forgotten to pray for in our weakness. Lord, may it have been prayed for by those before us now. May there be that unity in our prayers. And as they unite together, dear Lord Jesus, intercede for us, that they may be acceptable on high. We ask all in thy dear name. Amen.
Hymn 285. O for a heart to seek my God, encouraged by his gracious word, to view my Saviour all complete, and lie submissive at his feet. Hymn 285.
greatly help each one of us this morning, both in preaching and in hearing, as I direct your attention to the chapter that we read, the Gospel according to John, and chapter 19. The Gospel according to John, chapter 19, and verse 30. And those three weighty, solemn, yet blessed words in the middle of that verse. It is finished. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Dear friends, we are on holy ground this morning. We are at the foot of the cross. And we have the last words of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. It is finished. Shortly, we will gather, some of us will gather, round the Lord's table. And we will read those words in 1 Corinthians 11. "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." Now, it does sometimes trouble me whether I won't judge anybody else, gather round the Lord's table in that right way. As a minister, as we try in our poor way to prepare for the services of the Lord's day, sometimes sadly, I view it as a little service tacked on the end of the morning or the evening service. Maybe you that gather or you that look on feel the same. Dear friends, we are remembering the death of Christ. The only hope of poor, unworthy sinners who have nothing else to plead but that shed blood. The only hope of those who know that they have no righteousness in and of themselves and need to be clothed with the righteousness of Christ. Now, yesterday morning, as I went to my office with these words laid upon my mind, there was only one thing that I felt was finished, and that was my preaching. I was not in the mindset. I felt far off. I felt unworthy. I didn't know how to even open the Bible. So what did I do? I opened the hymn book and I turned and turned with me to that hymn number 780, the dialogue between a believer and his soul. And maybe this is you this morning.
Come, my soul, and let us try for a little season. Every burden to lay by, come and let us reason. What is this that casts thee down? Who are those that grieve thee? Speak, and let the worst be known. Speaking may relieve thee. Oh, I sink beneath the load of my nature's evil, full of enmity to God, captive by the devil, restless as the troubled seas, feeble, faint, and fearful, plagued with every sore disease. How can I be cheerful? Think on what thy Saviour bore in the gloomy garden, sweating blood at every pore to procure thy pardon. See him stretched upon the wood, bleeding, grieving, crying, suffering all the wrath of God, groaning, gasping, dying. This by faith I sometimes view, and those views relieve me. But my sins return anew, these are they that grieve me. Oh, I'm leprous, stinking, foul, quite throughout infected. Have not I, if any soul, cause to be dejected? But then this verse. This verse came with power. Think how loud thy dying Lord cried out, "It is finished." Treasure up that sacred word, whole and undiminished. Doubt not, he will carry on to its full perfection. That good work he has begun. Why then this dejection? Oh, dear soul, if you are feeble, faint, and fearful, if you are plagued with every sore distress, may you, through this poor man's preaching this morning, be led to the foot of the cross, be given the eyes of faith to see what you are, to see what you need, and to see the finished work of Christ. It is finished. Well, what is finished? You children, what does it mean to finish something? It means to complete something, doesn't it? Whether it be a piece of work you are doing at home or at school, when it is finished, you hand that work in. Nothing else can be added to it. It is done. It is complete. Maybe when a great building is being built, there is a point when it is finished. It is complete. It is as it was designed, planned, it has been executed. And so we have before us the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. And may we be able to look this morning at what is finished, but also at what is not finished. Well, firstly, we could say, what is finished? His sufferings. And what sufferings they were. Physical sufferings, yes. Pilate took Jesus and scourged him, whipped him. With that whip, with those bits of bone or whatever else they barbarically put within. You know, some in those times when they crucified people didn't even make it to crucifixion. So bitter, so terrible was that whipping and that scourging. He had that crown of thorns put upon his head. He was mocked. He was clothed in that purple robe. He was stripped of that purple robe. He was spat upon. But, dear friends,
many men have suffered those physical pains. Many men and women were executed in that way. But the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ were on another level, because he had those soul sufferings. He, in the Garden of Gethsemane, sweat, as it were, those great drops of blood. He knew in his humanity now what he was going to have to endure for the sins of his people. And as he hung upon that cross, as he was forsaken of his Father, as he cried out those words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? His Father's face had been turned away from him, as all the sins of his people were laid upon him. Dear friends, that is suffering. Do you know a little of your sins? Do your sins trouble you? Have you ever felt a little of the weight of them? Dear, that's nothing. Nothing compared to the sufferings of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Forsaken. Completely forsaken by his Father. And those words, it is finished, ended his sufferings. He bowed his head. He gave up the ghost. He willingly laid down his life for his people. You know what sufferings. This was the lowest point of his humiliation here upon this earth. But it was finished. It was ended. His sufferings were complete. He now sits at the right hand of God the Father, throned in glory, at his rightful place. That position of authority, in control of all life's events. His sufferings are complete. What else was finished? We have it, don't we, in verse 28. That the scripture might be fulfilled. All those events that took place. All those points in the Old Testament writings were fulfilled. All complete. All finished. The sacrifices of the law, they were all finished. No more slaying of lambs and bulls and doves, and no more pouring out of oil and whatever else they had to do. It was finished. That one sacrifice had been offered, as we have in Hebrews chapter 10. In those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. That final sacrifice that ended all those sacrifices the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is finished. But for you and for I, dear friends, what is finished? The redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ. May we never get so taken up with the love of God that we forget his holiness, his justice, and his righteousness. This, dear friends, is where love and justice meet. The cross. This, dear friends, is so that one could be both just and the justifier. This is the way that poor, vile, unworthy sinners with nothing to plead can at that great day of judgment stand before a holy God. Through this finished work, it is finished. The purchase of God's favour by the death and sufferings of Christ. We have no way to purchase that, dear friends, but we try. We try. But what about that hymn of Top Lady? Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flowed be of sin the double cure, cleanse me from its guilt and power. Not the labour of my hands, not the labour of your hands, not the labour of all our hands put together can fulfil thy law's demand. Could my zeal no respite know, could my tears forever flow, all for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. The atoning work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The foot of the cross. It is finished. It is finished. Dear friends, we have no need of the cross if we think we have no sin. If we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to cleanse our sins. To cleanse us from all unrighteousness. May we never be confused that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There are some here this morning, I am sure, who are greatly troubled over their sins. There are some here, I know, who if I said to them, are you a sinner? They would say, yes, I am. If I was to say, have you come short of the glory of God? What would your answer be? Yes, I have. So what do we need? What do we need? Faith. Oh, if we could just pluck faith off the tree. Oh, but dear friends,
If we could pluck faith from off the tree, it would be our work. But, dear friend, is the Lord working in your hearts? If he has truly convicted you of your sin, if you truly know that you have sinned and come short of the glory of God, don't worry about your neighbour. Don't worry about all the homosexuality and the transgender issues. What about you? You have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And if you have no interest, if you have no interest in the finished work of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, do not be confused. You know what the result of that will be. And you know that you don't know if you will be here tomorrow. You think you may be. We have no reason to believe we won't be. We are fit. We are healthy. But dear friends, we have all sinned. We have all come short of the glory of God. And we all need to be justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Where are you this morning? Are you longing to know your interest in the Saviour's blood? Is that your desire? Is that your humble cry? Give me Christ or else I die. Well, what made you cry that? Because your eyes have been opened. Because your eyes have been opened to see that which you justly deserve. Or maybe you are sitting sleepily in your seat now, unconcerned. And you may well be. Because I can't awaken you. I can't quicken you. I can't bring the dead to life. You know, and as we stand here as ministers and preachers of the word, what do we want to do? What do we want to do? Grab you by the shoulders, shake you. Don't you get it? Don't you understand? We have all sinned. But it would have no effect. No effect at all. Because it is the work of the Spirit. But if you know you have sinned, then the work of the Spirit has begun within you. And as that work continues, you will see there is only one way. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. You know, we had that first hymn this morning, didn't we? Bowed down beneath a load of sin. By Satan sorely pressed, by wars without and fears within, I come to thee for rest. This, dear friends, is the only place of rest. At the foot of the cross, sheltering beneath those three words, it is finished. Oh, wondrous love, to bleed and die, to bear the cross and shame, that guilty sinners such as I might plead thy gracious name. Dear friend, if you are so cast down by your sin this morning, oh, what love we see contained in those three words, it is finished. That guilty sinners such as you and I might plead that gracious name. Might plead, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Sheltering at his feet. Whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation. To be that wrath-ending sacrifice. Through faith. In his blood. to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. The forbearance of God. The remission, the forgiveness, the pardon of your sins. Looking unto Jesus. Dear friend, that is where your eyes need to be, to the cross. Peace by his cross has Jesus made. Oh, what love. Do you see the love here of God the Father, that he would send his only begotten Son for the sins of his people? On such love my soul still ponder. Love so full, so rich, so free. What love. You know, and we have read this account, John's account, haven't we? And what love we see in his epistles also. You know, I do love those epistles of John. Full of his love to Christ as he was nearing the end of his life. Full of love. Here in his love. Here in his love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. This is love. What love. But maybe you say this morning, I don't know. I know I'm a sinner. But did he die for me? That's the question, isn't it, that begins and continues in our heart. Yes, I know I have nothing to plead. Yes, I know I am wretched. But what if I am left out of the secret? What if all those that will gather round the table shortly, what if they are just the elect and I am not? It's the same work that truly made you mourn over your sins, that makes you come unto him, that makes you come unto him, as we have in Matthew's Gospel chapter 11, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, dear friends, that is the first text that I ever preached from before the church at Heathfield. And I have never felt able to preach it again since, but I'm still there. It's the only place that I can go when I'm heavy laden. It's the only place where I'll find rest. And it's the only place where you will find rest. Come unto me. But you say, I can't come. How can I come? Well, dear friend, you are being drawn, aren't you? You're being drawn by the Saviour's love. You're being drawn to feel your need. For it is his word. It is he that will give you faith. It is he that will cause you to see, yes, if free grace, why not for me? Why not? Give me a reason why. Why? Ah, yes, but you don't know me. You don't know how sinful I am. You don't know how sinful I am. dear friends. We get nowhere near the foot of the cross through our own merit. Give up, dear friends. Give up trying to work out your own righteousness and fall humbly at the Saviour's feet. Lord, I have nothing else to plead but thy work, thy finished work. It is finished. But I see time is rapidly going, and I seem to have not got anywhere this morning. But what is not finished? We believe in a risen Saviour. Buddha is dead. Muhammad is dead. All those idols that the Hindus worship with multiple arms and legs and other funny things, they're all dead. But our Saviour lives. He lives. He lives. Jesus was not finished, for he rose again, and he ever liveth to intercede for us. Is that sweet to you? He ever liveth to intercede for you. He lived that life of perfect obedience here below. He was tempted in all points, like as you are. Yes, all points, yet without sin. He is a faithful, he is a compassionate high priest. He knows where you are. He is interceding for you at the right hand of God the Father. But what else is not finished? The work of the Holy Spirit. Through the finished work of Jesus Christ, the work of redemption, he sent down his Spirit to this earth. And it is that which makes us alive. It is that which sustains us. It is that which makes us feel our load of sin. It is that which makes us fall at the foot of the cross. To fall beneath those words, it is finished. You know, we turned, didn't we, briefly to those words in Romans chapter 3, but in Romans chapter 4 we have those words also, don't we? Who was delivered for our offences and was raised again for our justification. Raised again. Oh, what a thought that this dear man, verily God and verily man, truly God, truly man, is looking down upon us now, is by his Spirit working within you and working within me. I can preach poorly. Other of the Lord's servants can come and preach unto you. But how many sermons have you listened to? And it's had no effect whatsoever. And yet, do you know what it is when you can say, that man knew exactly where I was on that Lord's Day morning, that Lord's Day evening. He came right into my pathway. He didn't, but the Spirit did. And applied that word with power to your heart. Opened your blind eyes to see. Thousands, maybe tens of thousands of sermons we have heard. How many times have we read through the Bible? But They're just words. They're just words. Unless they are applied. But when they are applied, what do we remember? I think back to my own life. I don't remember what that man said in the pulpit oftentimes, but I remember the word of God. I remember the lines of that verse that were applied with power to my heart. That's what we remember. The word of God. I am the way, the truth, and the life. But this finished work, as we draw our thoughts to a close, nothing can be added to it. Nothing at all. It is finished. It is complete. And as those of you who gather around the Lord's table shortly, although it will be in your own seats, may that even speak to us. You know, what do the members of this church long for? What do the deacons of this church long for? What do those that stand here long for? Those to be brought in to the church of Christ. Those to know and say and profess that I have nothing to plead. I have nothing to claim as my own, but I look to the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. One thing I know. And dear friends, if that is the only thing you know, it is enough that whereas I was blind, now I see. Do you see? Do you see? But as we gather round the Lord's table, as I was saying, you know, we oftentimes come. Do we see what we are remembering? Do we appreciate what we are remembering? It is finished, that work. We feel unworthy. But dear friend, if that is how you feel as you gather and partake of the Lord's Supper, you feel unworthy. Don't worry about your feelings, because it is finished. If it was reliant on how you felt, we couldn't come, could we? But we come because it's finished. We come by faith. And we long to feel something, to know something, to have something of these precious truths applied to our hearts as we gather. So as we do, may what we partake of, by faith, mean something. May our prayer be, O Lord, may we see thy finished work. May we shelter at thy cross. May we enter a little into what we have before us. The finished, complete work of Christ. So wherever you are, dear soul, this morning, whatever the devil will tempt you with, I am not this, I am not that, I need this, I need that. We need nothing but the finished work of Christ. It is wholly his work. For by grace are ye saved through faith. Nothing else saves us, does it? Nothing else can bring us there. By grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. Because even when we were dead in sins, he hath quickened us together with Christ. Has he quickened you? Has he brought you this morning to the foot of the cross to know that you can bring nothing, can plead nothing but his merits? Then what will be your cry? What will be your song? You'll be in hymn number 11, won't you? Thy mercy in Jesus exempts me from hell. Its glories I'll sing and its wonders I'll tell. 'Twas Jesus, my friend, when he hung on the tree, who opened the channel of mercy for me. And it's the only way that we can continue. Without thy sweet mercy, I could not live here. Sin soon would reduce me to utter despair. But through thy free goodness, my spirits revive, and he that first made me still keeps me alive. May we each know a little of that sweet mercy. May we each be given those eyes of faith to look unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. So wherever you are along the road of faith, you say, I have so little faith. I don't think I've got any faith anymore. I'm full of unbelief. He is the author and the finisher. The devil will tell you that you need to finish the work. But, dear friends, it is finished. Amen.
God willing, Sunday school will be on Zoom this afternoon, and tomorrow evening there will be a prayer meeting for the nation at 7 o'clock with an address by Mr. Robert Field. And on Tuesday evening, Mr. Fred Ince is expected to preach at 7 o'clock. And next Lord's Day, Mr. Philip Warren is expected to preach. Let us close with hymn 154. 154. Much we talk of Jesus' blood, but how little's understood of his suffering so intense. Angels have no perfect sense. Who can rightly comprehend their beginning or their end? 'Tis to God and God alone that their weight is fully known. Hymn 154.
dear Lord. Do bless that which has been of thee thus far in our worship. Forgive that which has been of myself. Help us as we gather round thy table now, and those who look on, may they long to partake also. And Lord, as we long to know more of thy power and more of thy love, Lord, may we each feel it, wherever we are in our spiritual journey now. Come and gather with us round thy table. Solemnize our minds and our hearts. For without thee we can do nothing, but we can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth us. So strengthen us now. Be with us, we pray. Now, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us each. Amen.